Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, September 7th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 152. We're going to read two paragraphs this morning, beginning with that third paragraph, how is that to come about, ending with love thy neighbor as thyself. We are reading and commenting on both of those paragraphs. Today's readers are Sherry Z, who will be reading the text, Robin B will be reading page 164, and Dion R is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter will be Kathleen W, and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference number for yesterday, Wednesday, September 6, 2023, is 20,607 or 20607. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,609 or 20609. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. And Kathy, hit star one, please. Can't hear you.
Good morning. Yeah, good morning. This is Kathy B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying all for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy B., and I will now ask Kim J. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Kim J. from Arkansas. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively eating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, OA should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me do service.
Well, thank you so much, Kim J. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then please press star 1 to re-mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 152. We're going to start with that short little third paragraph that begins with, how is that to come about? We're going to read two paragraphs, finishing with, love thy neighbor as thyself. And we're going to read and comment on both those paragraphs. And I will now ask Sherry D. to begin reading.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. Can I be heard?
You can, yeah.
Great. Sherry Z, recovered in Southern California, and good morning. How is that to come about, you ask? Where am I to find these people? You're going to meet these new friends in your own community. Near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly like people in a sinking ship. If you live in a large place, there are hundreds, high and low, rich and poor. These are future fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. Among them, you will make lifelong friends. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties, for you will escape disaster together, and you will commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. Then you will know what it means to give of yourself, that others may survive and rediscover life. You will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbor as thyself. Again, Sherry, recovered in Southern California. Thank you so good. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all the visionaries around the world. This is a beautiful paragraph because it talks about a promise that provides true meaning for why we're here, which is that if we follow these steps, we will have a purpose for why we're here, and we will come to know, and I think the secret is in the last line, how to love other people like we love ourselves. And the problem with me was that I came into the program, I didn't know how to love myself. And the steps gave me a instruction manual, how to see myself as holy, how to have a relationship with God, how to not bear a grudge and be full of resentment, how to see myself as equal to every human being, not superior or inferior, how to accept people as they are, and to not hurt others, which I used to do. And then what the steps have given me is these instructions so that I not only have a relationship with God, but God has taught me how to be this way with other people. And I will say that the promise is that I have made friends in recovery that get me, and I get them. And I don't have to explain, but that I truly get that I wake up some mornings feeling like not enough, and that I have a pathway to pray, people to talk to, so that I can get back into that place of true self-love so that I can do what God put me here to do, which is to be of service. So thank you very much. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry Z, for getting us started. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. We also ask is that you please keep your sharing to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. And so now I'm going to take a list of people who'd like to share. Please give us your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from. So who would like to share?
Susan G., Los Angeles.
Hey,
Evan R., Southern California.
Evan R. Who else would like to share?
Dion R.
Gotcha, Dion R. Let's take a couple more names. Okay, well, we'll just go ahead and start with these three. I've got Susan G., Evan R., and Dion R. So we'll start with Susan G., followed by Evan R.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Susan G. in Los Angeles. Thank you, Sherry, for starting us off. I just love these pages. And what they remind me of is what I was told in working with others. I'm uniquely qualified because I've had these experiences and to carry this message, because there are people high and low, rich and poor. And as Bill told us, potential alcoholic that he was, perhaps they can be saved to going, you know, going through the depths that I went through, and maybe not. You're going to meet new friends. In the decades now that I have been here, I have had made lifelong friends. I've also had friends come and go and leave these rooms, and that can be really, really sad, and trying to stay in touch with them. But then when they come back, we just get to pick up where we were. God guides them back. I can't pressure anybody to do this. All I have to do is carry this correct message, and we do escape disaster together. And this is just the beginning, as it says, I'm going to commence shoulder to shoulder with you on our common journey, and we're going to survive and rediscover life. And there are people here who I would never have made friends with, never have met. Thank you, Zoom, for introducing me to this worldwide fellowship. That wherever I go now, one of you meets me along the way. And what a gift that is, to get on these meetings and to hear voices from all over the world, and then to have the pleasure of traveling and to meet you. You know, God constantly does for me and for you what I could never ever do for myself. And by working these steps and listening to all of you and hearing your journey, God has removed all that judgment that I had when I came in these rooms and sat in the back and folded my arms. So I hope that you take advantage of these rooms and make these friends and take somebody's hand, because what I realize is, as I've often heard, I couldn't see what I couldn't see, and I didn't know what I didn't know, but God continues to reveal more and more to me every day, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan G. from California. Next up, we have Evan R., followed by Dion R.
Hi, good morning. Evan R., Southern California. This is one of those paragraphs in my own reading I might have just kind of blown over, but, you know, in this meeting, we'll break them down step by step. And that ending part, love thy neighbor as thyself, as someone else shared, I had a hard time loving myself when I first started. you know, a big part of my food addiction was self-mutilation. But I've realized over the years and with abstinence and sobriety is that if I ever need to feel that way, if I help somebody else, I'll instantly start to build that self-love because it's like that's the ultimate gift. And, you know, recently I've had the experience of working with a lot of new people, and I realized that every time I do that, that's God's will. It's like, oh, boom, there it is. And people are like, oh, is it selfish that you're just doing it for yourself? It's like, I'm not just doing it for myself, but I do benefit. And, you know, looking at Bill's story, though, he went 6 months and no one got any better, but he realized he was better, that he didn't drink. And that's, you know, part of the message, and that's part of the recovery. It takes a lot of courage to share with those people and be open up because, to be honest, like, yeah, not all of them get better, but as long as the door is open and I keep putting my best foot forward, the people who do want to get better will. And I kind of like now that I've built myself up over the years as like someone you could call if you're having a crisis or if you're struggling with X, Y, or Z. And that makes me feel a lot of self-love. And, you know, the saying is if you want self-esteem, you got to do esteem of blacks. And for me, sharing the message and helping people is like the easiest way to do that. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Evan R. Dion, you're up.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you, Susan. And thank you all those hot chairs I just heard. I am Dion R. from Ohio. Very grateful. And I've heard it said, too, many times, with all else fails, works with another compulsive overeater, and it has saved my day. Excuse me. It says, are we going to meet these friends? We meet them in our community, whatever, you know, compulsive overeaters are dying helplessly, right, like a sinking ship. And I've seen it, witnessed it inside the rooms, unfortunately, as well as outside the room. And like someone said earlier, I just got to stand there, keep my post, keep the light going, just in case they make it back, excuse me, or one of their relatives need the program. I got to stand still. And be the light. And the best way I can do that is working with others. It keeps me going, gets me out of my situation, give God a chance to fix it and work on it. And yes, and I do believe in love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the universal code I got from 12-step recovery in general. The more love we give, the better I have it in my family, my community, and the world, I believe. You know, the more love given, the more receiving. And everybody won't receive it or can't receive it, but that doesn't stop me from recovering and recovering, and then eventually get to the point where food is neutral because I have a recovered state of mind now. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm just so grateful. Lastly, I found out there's a recovery center for where God placed me temporarily to get out of the hazardous conditions I was living in. And I'm like, whoa, right around the corner. So I haven't been face-to-face in about two years. So that's a gift. I call that a little gift. And with that, I'll pass. Keep coming back. And I sure will, too. Thank you, Stephanie.
Well, thank you so much, Gian R. from Ohio. And if you're just joining us, let me real quickly tell you where we're at. We're on page 152. We read the third and fourth paragraph, beginning with, how is it that come about? Ending with love thy neighbor as thyself. And I'd like to take another lineup of people who'd like to share. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share? We're a quiet group this morning.
This is Fran R. in California.
I got you, Fran R. Thank you.
Thank you.
And who else would like to share on these paragraphs?
Juanice Ann.
Barbara A.
Juanice. I've got Juanice. I've got Barbara.
Jennifer A.
I've got Jennifer A, I believe. And did I hear another name in there? Maybe not. I can take a couple more names. if there's anyone else who'd like to get in on this group. Okay, so I've got Fran R, I've got Juanice, Barbara A, Jennifer A, and we'll go ahead and get started with Fran R, followed by Juanice.
Good morning, all. This is Fran R in California. And I really, these paragraphs touched me because I have been in and out of the program, and I try not to look at the out times, just the in. And but I have been back for 6 months, and I am so grateful, and we are all so blessed to have OA at this time of our lives, you know, because as the reading mentions, that you know, who are these people and where do we meet them? Well, we're so blessed because we can meet them like we are this morning online. We can meet them over the phone. And people that we don't even have an opportunity to see person to person can be so helpful, are so helpful. And we have podcasts to listen to, recordings. We have in-person meetings, conventions, retreats. I was only back in the program for 3 weeks when I went to a retreat in Santa Cruz, and it was a great way to get back into the program. It was wonderful seeing people, and I feel closer to the individuals that help me every day stay abstinent and stay and get healthy in the mind and the body, and miracles just unfold. I'm 73 years old. After 6 months, I have dropped a lot of weight. My doctor was shocked when she saw me. She hadn't seen me in a long time. And all of my numbers, all of my blood work, excellent. I had a lot of medical problems. And I'm down to one medication. And it's just miraculous what has happened to my body and my mind. And so thank you all so very much. It's very difficult for me to reach out and to share, but I promised my sponsor I would today. Thank you all so much. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Fran R. from California. We're so glad that you shared. Next, we have Juanice, followed by Barbara A.
Good morning. This is Juanice, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in California. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Juanice.
Okay, great. All right. Okay, good morning. I'm a little under the weather this morning, so I sound weird, but I wanted to share on these couple of sentences where it says, among them you will make lifelong friends. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties. Man, that is just means so much to me because that is what I'm finding in this fellowship. And those ties are, you know, that these relationships that I'm building here in this recovery are all about God and relying on God and where is God in the situation and how can I find him and grow closer to him. And they're not based on, you know, the superficial. I used to do my relationships before the ties I had really was around food. And, you know, partying and, you know, and how I can just indulge and overspend and, you know, and this kind of stuff. And now my ties with the people are so much more meaningful to me because they truly help me to grow as a person. They're truly helping me to just be better and be more available and, you know, and, just better as a person in every way that I could think. And I just didn't, and in ways that I didn't think was imaginable for me, you know, I didn't think it was possible for me to build a relationship with the power greater than myself that I call God, like the relationship I have now. And all of these ties, they push that. they'd helped support that and shown me that I can have this relationship with power that I've always desired and always hungered for and just did not know how to get there. You know, and the 10 steps and the prayer and meditation daily and keeping trying and keeping working at this, all of these things have given me this relationship that is just beyond my wildest dreams that I have today. And I'm just so grateful for these kinds of ties, these new and wonderful ways that I'm tied to people now that I just didn't know was even available to me. And so that's all for me. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Juanice from California. Next up, we have Barbara A., followed by Jennifer A.
Good morning. This is Barbara A., calling from Central California. I'm grateful to share today. It's been a while since I've been able to share. I pick up this meeting most days. I'm just reflecting how lonely and isolated I was before I came into the program. I mean, I had friends, I worked, but never would I have met all the recovery, all the recovered persons, all the people with this same disease that I have. I would have never touched them in my life had I not joined first Alcoholics Anonymous and now Overeaters Anonymous. And the group of people and their recovery and their sharing, I would not have had this had I not come to this fellowship. I'm just touched by how I have learned to have relationships, how to communicate, how to put myself out there, be outside my box, so to say, just by participating, just by sharing, by taking the steps, by becoming a sponsor, trusting in God. All of this was taught to me by this fellowship. I have learned to love my neighbor, which means I've learned to love myself. I never was able to do that, never able to accept my own disease, my own character defects. Never until I could hear other people talk about how they recovered, how they were able to put down the food. It's a good feeling to walk with my higher power, giving me wisdom and strength through this program, through the fellows, and I'm just grateful. I want to say I'm grateful. And that's it. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Barbara A. from California. Next up, we're going to have Jennifer A., and then we're going to take another lineup. You're up, Jennifer.
Hi, thank you for your service, and I'm grateful to you guys for being there. It's Jennifer H. Sisson-Harry in North Alabama, recovered compulsive overeater. And how is that to come about? Where am I to find these people? So if I want to get that, all those amazing promises in the paragraph before, this is going to tell me how to do it. And, you know, like everyone shared, I'm so fortunate because it's, you know, if I can't, I don't even have to get in the car and drive across town. I can, you know, listen at the end of this meeting and get phone numbers. So it's something that I really don't have any excuse, you know, to not do it. But I will still want to isolate, and then and thank God with the awareness now of when I have that feeling that I'm not, that I'm starting to lose. You know, if being recovered is conscious contact with my higher power and my fellows, then when I start veering off from that, it's conscious separation from my higher power and my fellows. And boy, that separation, oof, I start getting that awful feeling where it's just me and me and I don't, and self-will and being in self. And my first sponsor called it, you know, staring at my own belly button lint too much. And it's just a yucky feeling. And so I don't want to be there anymore. And then also I have to have that top four. You guys called it my God squad. My first sponsor said she made it a little more specific, the top four. These are four people who are recovered. They have worked the steps. And you regularly are in contact with them so that when you really need to, it's a habit and you feel like you can call them, you know, and you can contact them and they already, you know, you already have a connection there. I don't want to be without this connection to you guys. And I never knew before. I thought love thy neighbor as thyself was love your neighbor as you wish they would love you. That's how twisted up I was in. I had to get my self-worth from somebody else. But now I have an internal resource system, a higher power that helps me to be, you know, actually, you know, instead of thinking I'm worthless, to actually value myself and then, you know, show up for, and being able to show up for a sponsee, it gets me through all kinds of stuff. And that being able to, okay, we've got our phone call, so I'm going to work through the steps with this sponsee and never even tell them that, oh, I'm in a hotel because I just had to leave my home because this and that was going, you know, with my six-year-old son. Didn't even have to tell them any of that. Just kept showing up to do this deal. And that is a miracle that I'd never had before, where I was settled regardless of what kind of calamities were going on. So I'm really grateful to you guys for giving me the serenity and for being here in all past.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer H. from Alabama. And time to get some more names. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Robin B. in Ohio.
I've got you, Robin B. in Ohio.
Kathleen W.
Babylonia A.
I've got Kathleen W. and I think I heard Babylonia H. I believe.
A.
Okay. Oh, A. Gotcha. And who else would like to share? Okay, we'll go with this lineup. So I've got Robin B. from Ohio, Kathleen W., and Babylonia A. Robin, you're up, followed by Kathleen W.
Hey, good morning. This is Robin B. in Ohio, compulsive overeater, living in recovery one day at a time. And when I read these paragraphs, it reminded me of a situation that I just had yesterday. You know, how has this come about? Where can I find these people? And preceding that, in the preceding paragraph, it's the fellowship. And I was in a situation at work yesterday where I had ingested something that I thought was going to be okay. And when I had ingested it, I thought, this is not okay. This is not for me. And I stopped. And then I thought, okay, great. I've set off this allergy and I'm at work. What am I going to do? And God put my coworkers near me. And they know about my addiction. They've not professed to be addicts or, you know, compulsive overeaters, but they understand it from a healthcare perspective. And I allowed myself to be vulnerable, and I confided to them, and I said, hey, I've just ingested something that I feel like I'm having a reaction to, and that my brain is not working quite right. So I just want to make you, you know, and I shared that with them, and they were very supportive, and I'm thankful for that fellowship, you know, that I have with people that are even outside of the OA program, and I'm thankful for my OA friends that I have, and that they can understand and identify. And the most important thing that I have experience through this is the acceptance and not being judged by my OA fellows, and that they just accept me. And with that comes love, and looking at the end of this paragraph, love thy neighbor as thyself. For me, I have always struggled with loving myself, and in that and accepting myself and who I am and what this program has allowed me to see that I can, that I am worthy and that I can accept myself through my higher power and his grace for me. And the third thing that I take away from this paragraph is shoulder to shoulder, I am with my fellows. And thinking about that shoulder to shoulder, I'm side by side. I'm walking side by side. I'm not in front of my fellows. I'm not pulling them, nor am I behind my fellows. Am I pushing them, nor am I above my fellows or below them. So with that, and I'm thankful that I have that understanding, that I'm walking along side by side with them together. And I thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Susan B. from Ohio. Next up, we've got Kathleen W., followed by Babylonia A.
Good morning, family. This is Kathleen W. from Illinois. And I just wanted to claim my seat today. I haven't, I don't think I did last week, so I tried to, stay connected by at least once a week joining in. And I do love these paragraphs. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties, for you will escape disaster together and commence shoulder to shoulder. That really speaks to me. When I first started listening to Vision, I was in a place in my OA program where I was abstinent from what I call recreational sugar. When I started listening to Vision, I was in a place where I did not really want to fellowship anymore. I felt a lot of shame. I felt though I was miraculously abstinent from sugar, those forms of sugar, I felt there was other foods in my life that I could not lay down. And I had come to the place where I didn't really want to sponsor anybody anymore. I just thought I just thought people are a pain in the ass to have to sponsor. So I was there. I was as a place where I was beginning to just isolate because we were in COVID, and it was easy to isolate. But I actually, in that isolation, I started listening to Vision. And that was in March. In August, I finally introduced myself as a newcomer, and a woman called me. And I'll tell you, I had my mind opened up in that conversation with her, and I started having a new experience. She began to sponsor me. That was in 2020. And my life has changed completely. And I love to sponsor people. I have made new friends even in sponsoring. I've sponsored, I have a woman that I sponsored, and our relationship has blossomed into, we share each other. She's one of my God squads. So with that, I'm going to pass, but I thank God for this program and what it's done in my life and for God who has guided me to this place. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Kathleen W. from Illinois. Next, we have Babylonia A.
Good morning, everybody. Love your neighbor as yourself is obviously from the Bible, and I used to think that loving my neighbor as myself meant that I had to convert them to Christianity. But that was because I had a sense of kind of superiority that because I knew Jesus, I was somehow better than others and I had to convince them of what I believe. But I'm starting to change and I'm starting to think people will, because my greatest thing I love to share about my faith and how God changed my life, but I think the greatest thing is to really love other people, not the way you want them to be, but the way that they are, which is hard for us as addicts, I think, and because we want to control things. But if I truly love other people, they will know me better, that my faith better that way than if I just maybe talk about it, because people want to feel the love that you talk about. rather than just words and preaching, because then maybe it's kind of empty. So I'm making this great change in myself, and I'm just going to see how it goes, because I haven't been very successful at converting people. And maybe I want to try a new approach, which is to really love other people. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Babylonia A. And we can take another lineup, but let me just again remind everyone, if you've just joined us, we're on page 152. We're reading the last two paragraphs. How has that come about? Finishing up with, we read, love thy neighbor as thyself. And we've got time for probably two, maybe three shares. Who would
Sharon
like to share?
E. Sharon E.
E. Gotcha. Sharon E. And who else would like to share? We can do a couple more, probably. I know you're out there. I know you want to share. Well, we'll go ahead and Sharon will try and get one name.
Hi,
I'm sorry,
Deborah C.
Who was that? I couldn't.
Deborah
I didn't get
C.
That.
From
who?
Illinois.
Deborah
C.
C.
From C like cat. From
gotcha.
Illinois.
From Illinois. And then wasn't there one more name in there?
Becky T.
Okay, Becky T. So I think that's probably will take us to the end. So I've got Sharon E. followed by Deborah C. and Becky T. So Sharon, you're up.
Hi, Sharon E. from Ohio. Gratefully recovered. By the grace of God and this wonderful program. And these two paragraphs kind of explain why. Because relationships that I had built before were not, as someone else said, around God, like this program helps us to be. And I just, it's a wonderful feeling. When I was growing up, if I'd had some of these relationships, I would have thought they were being bossy. But in reality, now I know that they care. And because of that, I am staying sober from my alcoholic foods. So what I'm thankful for is that these people are there in my life. And I did always have I struggled as well with loving myself. I was hard on others because I was hard on myself. And loving myself was just too difficult. I had too many things going on in my past that just really caused a problem for me. And so I had all these struggles to maintain sanity. And I found that through this program, I've been able to come across some sanity, and I really appreciate it because I didn't think I was insane. But now I know I was, and probably still am. But no, this program has helped me with that, and I really appreciate it. So it's the love of each other. Because we understand each other, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Y'all have a wonderful day, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Sharon E. from Ohio. Next, we have Deborah C., followed by Becky T.
Hi, this is Deborah C. from Illinois. Thank you all for being here and for OA for having this meeting. Wow, it was a great reading and really good to be reminded of this, about having love for other people and love for myself. That's something right now that's missing in my life. I'm just feeling sort of flat about other people, no, just very neutral. And I'd say this reading helped me to open my eyes, like, yeah, I need to just feel and try to express and appreciate the love for the people in my life, including my kids, and just I don't have a whole lot of friends, but the friends that I do have, the support to my life, just to realize that they're gifts and they enrich my life, and some level, I guess I am for them. I just don't know. I'm not feeling love for myself at all. In fact, I've been extraordinarily miserable because I am in the grips of this disease and have not been able to get a single day of abstinence together. And in fact, my very worst behavior of binging at night and then completely inappropriate foods, like my kids' sugary foods, it's been just in full force, and I have not been able to get any kind of grip on it. And so just to remind the folks in this group, this disease is real, it's powerful, it's cunning, it's baffling. And I had about 20 years of amazing recovery, and then I think in like 2016, just fell off the wagon and have not tried to get back in, and I've had about 3 episodes of trying to get back in over this period of, what, now 7 years? Scary. So this disease is real. I guess I'm just a reminder to everybody about how miserable it is in this state. And just in yesterday, as I was grappling with all this and trying to do this all myself and claw myself back away and sort of chastising myself for, you know, the first bite I took of crummy food yesterday after having a morning of being all right. And it occurred to me, like, you know what, this is a spiritual program first, and the food stuff will follow. And my trying to white knuckle the food stuff is not the way this program works. Anyway, thank you all for being there, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Deborah C. from Illinois. And Becky T., you've got 2 minutes.
This is Becky T. I couldn't hear whether you said my name because it was amazing. But,
you're so up. 2 minutes, please.
Yeah. All right. One of the interesting things that's happening for me right now is that I've always struggled on some level with who I am. And I don't seem to do the things that I would like to do in the way that I would like to do them. And I'm often embarrassing myself. And or somebody made a statement about shame, and I wish I could remember what it was. It's an acronym, but something about master. Anyway, the thing that's happening for me right now is that I'm actually being able to it's coming up in me that I am able to see some of the things that I just really like about me. And one of them is my craziness, the way that I can just step in and do what's in front of me and just be loving. I mean, I was fixing somebody's vacuum cleaner yesterday. I mean, just crazy little things that are loving and caring and fun. And it's not control. It's being loving. And when I saw that, it was very, very interesting for me to actually be happy with who I am and to know that I'm not going to do everything right, but I'm not going to do everything wrong. And I'm able to love for real and be around people that aren't like me and that don't do things like I do or think like I do. And I want that place. I want to be able to be in my own skin wherever I go and to know that it's not my job to recreate the world in my image or in what I think is going on, should be going on. It is my job to show up, and the way the program says it is to look where I can be of service. But the way that I say it in my head right now is to see how I can convey not a blessing, but love. How can I share love? And that's all I got. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Becky T. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Robin B., can you please read A Vision for You?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in him.